It is a great pleasure. I can never find this place. I get here eventually, but I love to be here. And I just came to me that when we were singing those songs, I was thinking through the songs, and I thought, I know most of the people who wrote these. Most of the songs we sang today were written by evangelical Christians that I knew 20, 30 years ago. And I think it's a marvellous work of God. I discovered in Renewal with its ecumenical dimension that if we sing together and pray together, we might get somewhere. Because we're singing the same things. And nobody's asking, is this correct theology? Because you don't do that when you're singing, you just sing. And I've learned some new ones to add to my repertoire, like Sacrament of Holy. But we didn't sing those, I don't know who wrote that one. I don't think it was an evangelical Christian, but I wouldn't be surprised. So glad to be with you, I really am. I looked and there was one song in there by my good friend Richard Hobbs. Richard, pray for us. I owe a great deal. I think that's why I like being in the bonus with you. I think Richard's here. I owe Richard a great deal. We go back a long way and had many hours of fellowship and blessing. He tried to point me in the right direction. It never quite took, but Richard, I made it. And just you lovely folk. I mean, I don't want to pick anybody out, but I have to go for the Irish element. When we were in before the Blessed Sacrament and Adoration, I watched my sister's face. And she wasn't trying to do something, or she wasn't trying to make a theological statement. She was lost in wonder, love and praise. And I thought, well, I want that. I want to adore you that way. To some it would seem I've got the easy part of the stick. I'm on spiritual healing. The lovely thing about spiritual healing is nobody has to see it. The awkward thing about physical healing is if someone's in a wheelchair and you set it up and walk, they either do or they don't. Well, I take solace in this that Jesus said, which is it easier to say, get up and walk, or your sins be forgiven? We think sins be forgiven is easier to say, and it is, but it's not easier to do. My friend John Noble used to teach us, he said, I believe in healing, I hope you all get healed today, but if you do, you'll still die of something. But get your sins forgiven and you'll live forever. So spiritual healing is such a broad thing. I thought I had to focus on that. Alistair and I were not in collusion on Philippians 4. The idea of peace, the idea of being at peace, the idea of the peace of God surrounding our hearts. And I'll read it for you. And I want to see how many Pope Francis Catholic Christians we have with us today. Our Bible reading is from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Ah, you say I didn't need to bring my Bible, I know it, I could quote this. Good for you, I'm glad I got my Bible in obedience to my Bible. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord. I urge Euodio and Syntyche, or Odious and Syntyche, to live in harmony in the Lord. Amen to that. And we've no odious people with us today, no Syntyche people. And probably the nearest you're going to get to that, so you're at a safe distance. Indeed, true companions, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names Book of Life. I wish to God that the church today took as seriously the ministry of women as the earliest apostolic church did. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, sing within your heart, Moses, and you know. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing in Greek is an interesting word. Do you know what it means? It means nothing. Wow. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication or intercession and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This peace of God, I still remember the scriptures in the King James Version. This talks about the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I wonder, what on earth does that mean? But it means this is a peace that is beyond our describing, beyond our understanding, does not emanate from us, comes to us from God. And to me, one of the foundational signs of spiritual healing, and we all need spiritual healing, is that our lives are more and more becoming peace-centered. Maybe it's just old age, but things don't fuss me the way they used to. I'm not as certain about what I used to be certain about. I'm certain about the fundamentals. I'm certain that Jesus loves me and loves you. But some of the other stuff, well, if you want to talk about it, talk about it. But it's this peace of God. Now, God is difficult to be at peace with. That's the first thing you've got to have. If you're to be a person at least, you're to be at peace with God. That means you're not worried in the slightest about meeting him. That means actually you want to meet him. That means actually you can't wait to meet him. Maybe that's old age as well, but I'm enjoying it. But God I have to watch myself. It's difficult for us to get to terms with because he doesn't play the game according to our rules. He has his own rules. Have you ever noticed that? And I have fully expected on many occasions that God would do this, and he does the exact opposite, and I'm left thinking, have you ever tried asking him a question? It's most difficult. Most difficult. I'm glad of Our Lady's example. You see, she didn't ask any questions. Well, she asked one. She said, how will this be? And he answered. She just said, yes, Lord. Wow. End of all prayer, beginning of all prayer, middle of all prayer. Yes, Lord. I think that God is somewhat difficult to live with. And I'm saying this a bit tongue-in-cheek. Because he seems to be Jewish. Now, I'm not that anti-Semitic, he's far from it. But he's very good at asking questions. But he doesn't seem to be so good at answering them. Especially the why question. I've actually come to the conclusion that God never actually answers the why question. And unless you ask a simple thing like, why does the earth go round the sun? He'd answer that. He pointed to Newton or even the relative quantum physics and all kinds of stuff. But you say, Lord, why did I have to go through that? Or why do bad things happen to good people? And worse still, why do good things happen to bad people? It seems to me like the heavens are silent. And you're left, at least I'm in a great sense of distance. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you try to park the car in time and you can't find a parking place. My Bible says you should pray and you'll find one. I'm a man, I can do so. Find a wretched place to park and park the car. And let's get on with having a coffee somewhere. I've got a meeting. She prays about everything. I'm glad I got her. But it's not the little things in life, it's the big things. It's why did I get cancer? Why did Richard die? Why did this happen? And you haven't lived very long in life until something bad happens to you. And the why question then becomes not a matter of mere interest, but a matter of intense feeling and gut feeling. Why, Lord? Why me? I was dwelling on this quite a bit some time ago, and on God and His approach to us, and especially on this why question. I tried being Irish to get around them, because being Irish is the next best thing to being Jewish. And I said, Lord, why would you answer the why question? Stum. It's a nice day, isn't it? It's a lovely day, Father, but why would you answer the why question? Why don't you go and make your way for a cup of tea? And so I was going through this. Something really bad had happened. Something that happens in Christian work. I mean, I'm sure it's not true of your combat sister, but one a monk explained to us what it was like to live as a monk. He says there are 13 of us living in the same house, all desperately trying not to kill each other. I'm sure he didn't quite mean it, but I thought I knew what he meant. And when we sing that, Mold Me, I love that hymn. We sang it slightly different when I was a boy in church. Break me, mold me, fill me. And break me. I could see these nail-scarred hands come down from heaven. But that's not what happens. The great heart cry of the Lord is, I've been wounded in the house of my friends. And the hands that shape and mold you are not always friendly hands. And they don't always have your best interests at heart. And you can either fight back, which doesn't do much good, I've discovered, or you can put your life in God's hands and be at peace. We were standing many years ago at a bus stop in Belfast, and it was the beginning of what we euphemistically called the Troubles. It amuses me somewhat, I hope I'm not being proud or whatever, but I see some of the things that have happened in the continent, in this country, and they're awful. We lived through those things happening time after time after time. And just as the Troubles were starting, we were standing with our little toddler, Avril. I think she must have been like two at the time. And round the corner from the bus stop at the post office, a bomb went off. It was only a small one. We could hear the crack and feel a thud of our feet, but it wasn't, you know, glass flying everywhere. But immediately that whole line of people waiting for the bus were discombobulated, were put out, were fearful. Me among them. Because when you hear one, it's probable there's another one. And where is it? Probably from one bomb is you could run into a bigger one. But there are no sins in Belfast. I'm not bother teaching you them because you never need to use them. But our little daughter, we had a weekend of services with a special speaker, and we were all into singing the scriptures at that time. And the Psalms, of course, lend themselves to that. And the psalm we learned to sing, I can't remember the tune, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. The sun will not smite you, but day nor moonlight." And my little daughter is only two. She didn't know the words, but she just sang out her own little words, sang this new song we'd all found. And suddenly, the whole line of people was at peace. Supernatural peace brought by the channel of a two-year-old. So this idea of living in peace doesn't mean that everything goes well. You see, we live under this illusion not because we feel we're doing our best to be good Christians, things will work out. If you're trying to be a good Christian, let me assure you, things will not work out. Hello? See, Jesus faced this. It's an old idea that if you're ill or you've got cancer or this has happened or your children have gone on drugs or something, what did you do wrong? Who sinned? This man or his parents? And I love our Lord's answer, neither. These things happen. It's not understanding why they happen that gives us peace. It's learning to live with it happening that gives us peace. That we should know this if we read Genesis, and here's a little thing for you to do at home. In Genesis, I think it's the first three chapters, God asks five questions. Doesn't give any answers, just asks five questions, which are pertinent to us to this day. But back to, why me, Lord? And I'd really gone through it, and I was desperately praying and fasting and seeking God, trying to find a way through this river, and in my turmoil, in my little office in my quiet time, I just said, "Lord, why? Just tell me why." And heaven was silent, absolute, like God's, not a word. And I had to leave it. I walked away from it and thought, "Well, I still serve you, I still love you, but I wish I could understand you, but I wish you would be a bit more." This is me. Can you imagine talking to the Almighty like that? And then one day I was in there praying, still going over this why question, when I remembered this verse of scripture. Peace that passes all understanding. You could interpret it in a liberal way, not a literal way. Peace. I will give you peace that is better than knowing why. And that's spiritual healing. When you and I can live in that peace and leave the why question hanging. I used to think, well, when I get to heaven, God will answer the why question. I've become to feel it. It doesn't really matter. It's not that important. Not in the big picture. Why did you love sinners so much? You might answer that for me. Why did you give your life for me while I was still a sinner? You might answer that for me. But my little whys in the light of eternity, I'm not that anxious anymore. A friend of mine, a lovely, very sincere young man, And he was in good job, a doctor, and a good doctor. And he felt the missionary call of God to go to, where did he go? Somewhere in Central Africa, I can't remember where, but right out in the sticks where there were no hospitals and no facilities, he set up a cancer clinic. He wrote a wonderful little book called The Man with the Keys. It's not here. How he could never get anything. He'd go to the store to get some pharmaceuticals, whatever, that supposedly had sent to him, and the store was shut, and he'd say, why is the store shut? The Man with the Keys. It's not here. And when he got this, then he himself got cancer. I mean, he's doing a wonderful work for God and for humanity. And he gets cancer. Now, you've got to think, God, you got this mixed up. I know you wouldn't say it because you're good Catholics and you'd be afraid of going to hell if you said it, but we all think it. And he was praying and saying, Lord, why? Why me? I have to leave this, I have to go home, back to Belfast, I have to get the treatment, I don't know when I'll ever get back here. Why me? And he told me, and I'll never forget it, he said, David, the only answer I got from God was, why not? Could you live with God like that? Well, you do. Whether you know it or not, you do. Why me? Why not? I couldn't get God to explain the why question, but one thing he did say to me, and I want to pass on to you, is forget your why question, David. I will give you a peace that is better than having your questions answered. I will give you a peace that is better than an explanation. And at last I gave it. Something got settled that day. A peace came deeper than it had ever come before. And I didn't feel that God owed me an explanation. I didn't feel that God owed me anything. I didn't feel I was indispensable in the work of God. I just knew I was at peace with God. God was at peace with me, and I was at peace with myself, and I was at peace with the people around me. I give you the peace that is beyond understanding, that is beyond our ability to reason out or to think out. I'm not a lot of, please me, I've had counseling, I believe in counseling, all those things. But basically, a lot of counseling is us trying to get a reasonable answer as to why we do some things, and that's fair enough. But in my earlier ministry, I was quite involved with folk with quite serious psychiatric problems. I would go to our local psychiatric hospital to visit them. And number one, they're not good man, good Christian man. He was so disturbed, he was so upset, so drugged up, so whatever. He said, but David, I can't read my Bible, and I can't pray. And I said, well, what about if I read the Bible for both of us, and do the praying for both of us? Could you live with that? And he grasped on to that, and he got peace. I could have told him, you don't have to read, you don't have to pray, God doesn't. But he got peace. We were in a prayer meeting held in a lady's home, and one old dear was there. Old dear, I say, she's probably about 40 at the time, but I was sure it seemed old to me. No, she was older than that. And she was in a state, and she was crying, and she was whatever. And I said, would you pray for her? quite sank in. But I was young enough to rise to the challenge. And I went over and laid my hands on the head. I said, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know. What do I do? All I know is, if I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying through me. And he knows what to pray. If I don't. So I laid hands on her and she's crying. And deeply agitated, God bless you. And he did. And just quietly prayed in tongues for her. And after about 10 minutes, I heard a wonderful sound. She was fast asleep. She hadn't slept for 3 weeks. And we went on with our prayer meeting while she snored herself into peace. And I'm told that she was in peace afterwards. Well, the peace that's better than understanding, better than an explanation, the peace of God himself that comes upon us, that comes from above, and just fills us with peace. Not even with solutions, or not even with an answer, or not with an explanation, but just with peace. Some of you are looking at me like you understand it. Supernatural, wonderful, heaven-sent peace. The kind of peace, although I'm not sure I have that, have it as deep as this, but the kind of peace that when our Lord was in the boat, the fishermen knew was sinking, and they should know. And what was he doing? He was sleeping. Wow, can you imagine that? You're in a boat. The fishermen know it's sinking. The waves are lapping and the wind is howling. And you're going, and then you wake him up, he says, oh, you're a little fool. And he's at peace. And because he's at peace, suddenly the whole situation is at peace. And a sinking boat stops sinking and fighting. Fishermen are full of the glory of the Lord. That's peace. That's supernatural peace. But I wanted to pursue it a bit more, you see, because I was now in a kind of existential mode. I was praying. I didn't take what you want out of this. I don't recommend it. It's not a method, it's just an example. And I was over at my bookcase here praying during this thing. And it was like heaven opened and glory just fell. And I thought, what's this? So me being me, I take some steps away and begin to pray. Nothing. And I look at the bookcase and I go back to the bookcase, the glory of God. I don't know what you'd get out of that. What I got was just stay where God is. And don't try to understand it. I probably shouldn't even share it because it gives you all kinds of problems. But the point is this, God, this is terrible theology, but I hope you know, God can show up at any time. God can show up in Sainsbury's. There are other supermarkets that we should go to. God can show up in the bus, but probably most of us haven't been on the bus, so we don't know what one would look like. God can show up at the kitchen sink. And when he does, give him opportunity. Give him time. You can't manufacture it. You can't go home and stand in front of your bookcase and say, it worked for David Matthews, Lord, make it work for me. And just, well, he'll laugh as he does. Not at us, just with us. But learn to go with the flow in the moments when God shows up. That's terrible. Of course, he's with us all the time. I know all that, I know. But it's like prayer. Prayer for me is mostly boredom. But it's worth doing. And I don't pray to get happy or feel blessed. I pray because God tells me to pray and he tells me to pray for you. So I do it. I get on with it. But every so often I'm sitting there, I pray on top of my bed with my prayer shawl, my Jewish prayer shawl, and recite the Our Father, recite the Shema. And I go through the routine, have a nice little liturgy worked out so that even if I'm yawning, I can still get there. And every now and then God shows up. That's terrible, isn't it? But I suppose I should say every now and then I'm aware of his presence. The problem is he doesn't tell me what days he's going to show up. I wonder why. I can think of a good reason. I wouldn't show up the other days. I just show up the days he shows up, but he needs me the other days. Because he's my friend, he's my father. This peace of God comes again and again and again. Apparently John Lennon didn't mean it when he said that. Remember his famous song about Mother Mary? Apparently it was his own mother. Well, my Mother Mary whispers peace. Peace. What would I mean? Is it three times in the Mass? I think it's three. I look at the deacons, then I know, then again, then I know. It's three times the priest pronounces the benediction of peace during the Mass. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And we used to say, and with your spirit. No, we used to say, and also with you. I still like the old one, and with your spirit. So then right in the middle of our Mass are three occasions for us to receive the supernatural sacrament given to us on a plate, peace of God. And then we're told to offer each other the sign of peace. In my parish church, they do it quite enthusiastically. I think they like shaking hands with everybody. Now, not only am I given peace three times, I'm also given the opportunity to give peace to you. This peace of God is real spiritual healing. And it's yours. We get, somebody said it today, I think it was this job, but there's so much noise and so much clutter. How nice it is for 20 minutes. And I've got to confess to you, even now I still get bored. But how nice it is just to be quiet. So as I was there praying in this glory cloud or whatever was happening, I don't know, but it was doing me good, so I'm going with it. Don't you try it. You get your own glory. Second-hand glory never works. I still have this why question at the back of my mind. And God shared something with me that he said, David, you preached to me. He shared something with me that day which I've never forgotten. and it's brought me such peace, such... He said to me, I could tell you why, Deva, but if I told you why, it would be harder to live with the answer than it is to live without the answer. Can you believe that? I could tell you why, but you find it harder to live with that than if I just wrap my arms of love and peace around you and say, it's okay, son. It's okay, and you're okay, and the world's okay, that things are okay, even when they're not. We have a little saying in our family now, it's called All Is Well. It comes from the, do you remember the lady who got, was it the Elisha or Elijah? I can never remember. I'll try this one because I'm not sure you know about this one.
Well, it was Elijah.
Elijah. And the son she was given miraculously dies of heat stroke apparently. Where is God in all? Where is God in all? And the lady tells her husband she's going to see the man of God, the prophet. And her husband says, is there something wrong? It's not a high day, it's not a feast day. No, she said, all is well. She said, but all isn't well. But even all isn't well, all is well, because if we put it in God's hands, was it Jerome said, all is well, and all manner of things will be well. Who was it? A good saintly woman to come out of that. I'm sure Jerome came out with some good things, I just can't think of them. And as she's going along in a little window, he has a servant of the prophet reads her and says, is there something wrong? And she said, all is well. Till she gets to the man of God. And then she can let go. But you know what? Traveling along, all is well. All is well. All is well. Our son's dead. All is well. And suddenly for her, all is well. Because the prophet was the son. The boy is raised to life. So we've had a rough week in one household of our family this past, well, a couple of weeks with this, that and toddler. Life happens, crap happens. Excuse my language, I was going to say we're not being recorded for all. And we say to each other over the phone, all is well. And it's not a kind of passivity of, well, we not to, of course we do everything. Calm to help one another and to sort it out. And if you've got cancer, all is well. But for God's sake, fight it with everything you've got. With every medicine, with every whatever, with every prayer you can get, all is well. For the Christian, death is not fatal. I could tell you what I did. But if I told you why, it would be harder to live with the answer than with the question. Maybe he's saying that to some of you today. I can tell you why, but believe you me, you don't want to know. So may the God of all peace grant us peace. May the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that is almost irrational, that is the peace of sleeping in a boat when everybody knows you shouldn't. It's not the peace of doing nothing, it's not the peace of, he It's just the peace of God. It's the peace of God. Now, what I would like to do, I would just like to pray for each one of you, marking with the sign of the cross, and ask God's peace to come into you. I start here. If you don't want me to pray with you, that's fine, just say, no. Well, nobody's looking at you, you're all over here, it's fine. I'm not supposed to. Yes, you are. She really is. That's Christ, shall we? Father, we pray that your wonderful, supernatural peace will be upon us right now. Not simply the peace of everything being all right, but the peace even when it's all wrong. And may we be healed today, spiritually deeper than we've ever been, Lord. May this peace of